Welcome back to second segment of the Oh No Radio Show. And this week brought to you by none other than Oh No Wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan, check out Oh No Wrestling. I guess by the time you hear this, it'll probably, already have aired. But we're going to be doing a lot of predictions for Forbidden Door coming up. We've got a lot of news, to talk about with one Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And it's probably going to be a good one. You're not going to want to miss out on that. If you are a wrestling fan, check that out. Wherever you find your podcast, just search for Oh No Wrestling, ohnowrestling.com, and ohnomedia.com. Never forget about that. Oh No Media, too, is where you can find all of our clips that we pull from the show. We throw some stuff up there for you on YouTube.
Owen, who are those clips brought to you by?
Most of the time, you're the one doing the clipping. You're doing some clipping.
No. Who sponsors the clips?
Yeah. Well, he hasn't paid me for this month yet, so I wasn't gonna read it. But we'll give him a week free. Don't forget to, of course, check out Amber Blue Dreams. She is a wonderful artist who has painted a lovely picture for us here hanging in the studio. You can see it right behind me. There it is, right there.
Check her out if you want some dope art.
Yeah, I've got what's her fucking Instagram? I had it written down.
Amber Blue Dreams with a Z.
Yeah, it's Amber underscore B L. Here it is. I got it. Amber underscore B L U D R E A M Z. That's indeed correct. And no, seriously, like, she does commissions. She's like, if you're, a fan of kind of, I don't know what you call it. It's almost like pop art or whatnot. It's really, really cool. It looks great.
It's colorful. It's something solid that you could put up in your home that could be a talking piece. Like, if I saw that on Owen's wall, I'd be like,
whoa.
Hey, bro.
What is that? That's pretty rad. Yeah. No, I 100%. You're absolutely right. But that's their last plug. Gotta re-up. Gotta re-up that PayPal, brother.
Benny Payne's on the road.
Benny don't do it. He'll do it. Like, now that I called him out, if he wants me to keep advertising, my ads ain't cheap. Anyway. No, they're actually very cheap. By the way, if you ever want to advertise on the Ono Radio Show, just find me on Facebook or just email me at onomediaowen@gmail.com.
If you'd like even cheaper ads, email me, Mike B.
Don't email him.
I'll give you some cut-rate advertising.
Radio
Show.
Also, if you want really expensive advertising, you can contact me.
Oh, Ty's got the high. See, that's highest. How it works.
He has.
That's how we drive you to Owen, is because I'm low. I'm the low rate. Ty's the high rate, and you're like, okay, well, the middle rate's probably the best, bang for my buck. So they go with Owen.
That's it. That's how I do it. That's absolutely how I make my millions. Moving on, though, I wanted to talk about Nub Man first.
Nub Man.
Yeah. So there's. They've been limiting our smoking sections at work, right? I have there's still smoking sections, but
my mind immediately says, how do we get to Nub Man from my smoking break? How did Nub Man get to exploit your smoking section?
I will explain this. Now they have forced all of sort of like I would call myself middle trash at Universal, right? But there are like lower trash, and then there's like lower trash.
Ooh, and bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, there's some real trash people. Like, I'm middle trash, like in the hierarchy of things, right? I'm right in the middle. But there are
You drink Coors Banquet.
Yeah,
that's a middle trash.
No, beer. That's pretty classy.
That's actually know. Yeah. Thank you. That's for special. Yeah, but it's that's on, for special
but it's on
occasions.
The classy
so
side
I will...
of a low spectrum.
Right. Either way, they've sort of forced us into our smoking sections. They've kind of forced us all together. So there's no class designation. There used to be a class designation. This was for the real trash. This was for like the middle trash. This is the high class smoking section. But now we're all in the same trash section. and there was a guy there talking with his other lower trash friends, and these are janitor type peoples, right? They're pretty low on the trash, you know, scale here. And one of them, oh, hey, whatever his fucking name is, we'll just say he's John, right? John, seen you been gone for a couple of weeks. Heard you were getting some surgery done. And then you hear the most gravelly voice ever come over.
Yeah.
I've been in the hospital, but it's okay, though, you know. They only cut off half my foot.
Like, he's got a foot. Then he gets that cool front foot prosthetic.
So he's got. There's a lot more that goes into this, Mike. He's got a. He goes in to say that. Yeah, they were thinking about gonna have to amputate that whole damn thing off, the whole leg. So I got away. You know, they told me I couldn't smoke no more.
Are they joking?
And
this dude is a bald. You know, that's the same thing. They told my buddy Frankie, like, hey, man, you got pancreatitis. If you keep drinking, you're going to die.
You're going to die. So, but
Frankie,
then
he took that as, if I slow down, I'll be all right.
Yeah. Conservative estimate.
Dead.
Right. Well, that happens. Sad. But this guy was in really good spirits. He's making racist jokes all over the place. He's having the best time of his life. He's in a wheelchair, but he's sort of like standing up, but like he's got a motorized wheelchair, you know, like a rascal. Yeah, he's got like a rascal. Clearly something the company has given him to get around and keep him sort of employed, I guess. I don't know. But there he is. He's sitting in that. He's like, I'm kind of getting my balance. But before he does that, now clearly there's like 20 people, like 15, 20 people of all different sort of trash type, you know, trash hierarchy here in the smoking section. But he's like, he is the belle of the ball, and he is definitely, he is talking to everybody. He is telling his story about his, you know, amputation. He's like, you guys want to see it? And then he does it. And he
whips his shoe off.
Takes the sock off.
Ooh.
And puts it on the picnic table, not two feet
right.
from where a woman had her open cup of coffee sitting there.
Oh, this is S tier trash level right here. This is really good.
This is high tier.
I don't really get bothered that much by nubs, but this woman was like in her coffee on her, like she, you know, she's doing the move where she's got like the cigarette, she's got the coffee, she's on her phone. She's a higher class, like trash person, right? She's on the higher end of the echelon here. And he does that. And I visibly saw her almost like she gagged. She visibly saw her do the like,
yo, you saw it, right?
It was
like, was this still fresh nub? Was it not healed?
It was pretty well healed, I gotta say. Solid nub. Weird okay. looking. And then he goes like, check it out. Like, I can do this now. And I don't know what he was trying to do, but he was kind of doing the like the Elvis hips while he was like, he was using his foot like a ball bearing, like, and kind of like twisting around in a weird manner.
No,
this is a really good smoke break for anybody.
I thoroughly enjoyed
this. This is the trashiest smoke break.
I'm having a great time at that smoke break. I'm smoking at least four cigarettes.
I didn't really have much to like. I couldn't even, like, it took me a while to process. This was today. I still haven't fully processed it. Like, it's still fresh in my mind. Like, I'm sort of scarred,
but I'm
amused. I want
to know in a week or two, like, if he's trying to show off his nub, like, daily, that would be rough.
Dude, he, Okay, there was another, there's a very large man that also, he was very close to, a very large Puerto Rican man. This guy clearly, he maybe struggles, he's that large, he struggles a bit to get around. And he's on his smoke, he's there too, and they're joking. He goes up behind him after he shows us all the ball bearing thing that he was doing. He takes his foot and rubs it in like the small of his back, like the big man's back, and just does like a
hooding back,
like he where the tramp stamp would be, you know, that small of the back. Yeah. He goes back, he takes his nub, and he just does a little like boop 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 boop, like he just,
whoa,
like a nub wiggle.
I'm just saying, this is a really wild smoke break, sir.
So as much as I do have to now hang out with these, you know, trash people, this is going to be really good for the show. My smoke breaks are going to be epic, I think, from now on. Like, I think this is, it's going to be great content. Every week we're going to have to get an update if anything happened. But yeah, there you go. There's my nub story.
I like this nub smoke break, though, but it's a little weird to, like, pop it out right on the
picnic table.
On the picnic table.
Mm-hmm. Everybody was there, just popping out nubs.
I hope I get to keep my feet.
yeah, you're in danger of what being one of these nubbers.
It scares me, man.
And speaking of interesting people.
Oh, that's right. You had a bit of a crazy situation, shall we say?
Yeah. The old crazy Billy.
Yeah, if you've listened for any time on the show, you'll know that Crazy Billy comes up from time to time in Mike's life. He's pretty much there when Mike goes and runs down for his gummies and stuff at 7-Eleven. Like, yep. This is when you typically run into your Crazy Billy, yeah?
Yeah, and this again, that's the man. That's the same time I run into him, like always.
Yeah.
He just...
Late at night? What time are we talking this time?
Oh, this was a daytime run. Daytime? I was just going over to get an energy drink before, you know, I started doing my laundry and stuff and things for the day. And
how's he looking? Still pretty homeless-y, or is he, you know?
Bro, he looks as suntan, like sun just leathered.
Yeah.
As ever.
Looks like a football.
He did ask you for a cigarette still, right? You had to.
Yeah, of course.
That's how the conversation opens every time, even though Mike's like quit cigarettes for quite a while now.
He's told him many times that he doesn't smoke anymore.
Oh, hey, how's it going? Are you doing good? Can I bum a cigarette? Same as always. Still trying to bum one. But I'm like, oh no, man. Like I don't smoke, and I, you know, jiggle my vape at him. Mm. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, you see my face? And I'm like, and I do. And, you know, I try not to look him in the eyes because that's how you end up having to talk to him.
Yeah.
But he's evolved past that. He just, even if you're walking by him, he'll just.
He just keeps going.
Oh, hey. Yeah, he engages. And I don't have the will to just be mean and. Just keep walking into the Sevi. So I turned to him like, oh, hey. And, you know, he launches into his thing. And I, you know, when I decline him the cigarette, I'm expecting, to launch into the sister story that we've all heard.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he starts with, oh, have you seen my face? And I'm like, and I do. I kind of look at his face. And it's like it's scraped up a little bit. He's got some. Little scrapey dudes, and I'm like, I do see that. And he's like, yeah, I fell off my bike. And I'm like,
sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You look, I mean, no offense, you look either on drugs or
about to get drugs, or like you're on a bike for a reason. And
you also kind of look like you just fell off a bike. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, on drugs.
I'm like, oh, that stinks, you know, trying to just be like, okay, we don't need to, I acknowledge that your face is damaged. Okay, cool. And he's like, and I acknowledge that you fell off your bike. Cool. I can't imagine the story goes any. Nope. It's the police's fault.
Yes.
And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. It's the policeman's fault that I fell off my bike.
Oh, dear.
And apparently.
Shocking revelation.
Yeah. A police officer just pulled out in front of him on the sidewalk. Ooh. And I'm like.
Did he, Billy? Well, did he?
Like,
well.
I mean, it's possible. God, Billy. It's possible.
Is the county paying him a lot of money? Is he going to be non-homeless now?
No, because here comes Ty. He's going to sue the city.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's where he's finally going to be. That's where he's going to get you back for all those cigarettes he's bummed. He's like, dude, I got it now. He's like, for
that's
him.
That's coming.
Yeah. This is like, it's the money is coming in. I got it. I got it. All right. Like, they already told me that, like, it's coming.
Well, and for, you know, for a millisecond in my head, I was like, you know, if he does, if this isn't a lie, if this is true.
Yeah.
And you sue the city because this police officer legitimately caused you to wreck on your bike face. One, I believe he's going to take the first offer that they throw his way.
Yeah, they're going to be like, here's $300. Shut up.
Snag.
Like, yeah.
So I'm hoping that Crazy Billy holds out for at least a couple grand.
What if, like, he somehow, some, like, public defender, right, takes some, like, real, like, sympathy about Crazy Billy?
Because he already looks pretty
bad. And gets, like, just really into the case, and they figure out that no, like, this dude, we could be suing for a lot of money. And he ends up getting, like, I'm not gonna say like millions, but say he gets like $300,000, right?
Oh, yeah,
he's richer than all of us.
Could you imagine though, he just waits in his same homeless spot? He sees you coming by, he gives you a carton cigarette.
This is what I was gonna ask is, does he change at all? Does he buy a house? Does he buy a trailer? Does he buy a house? Does he do anything with the money, or does he literally just waste it all on cigarettes and drugs and booze
and scratchers?
And does he literally do the same thing as he would do if he didn't? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what do you think?
I think he probably does. I think he would miss it. Like, he might, for a week or two, he might get away. Like, he might, you know, treat himself to a full, like, McDonald's meal and or something. And then a little bit down the line, he buys a $12,000 trailer.
And it's as crazy as he is.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah. But I don't think he changes his ways, right? Like, I don't think he.
So here's the thing. I think. He probably doesn't drive for a reason. Like, he probably doesn't have a license.
Yeah, probably not allowed.
Yeah. So I think even if he got $300,000, because of my knowledge of how his sister controls his life.
Yeah. Forgot about
that. I have a feeling, like, if he got some big payout from the city, she's gonna take
she'll use him for it, and yeah
she'll take a chunk of this.
So what if he gets a ton of money, Mike, what if you are like, hey Billy, hey Crazy Billy, talk and say it right this face. Hey Crazy Billy, I know that you've told me stories about your sister manipulating you and taking your money. I think that you need to partner with me. And right. I'll help you with the money because I won't screw you over. I've always been good to you. Remember, I would give you cigarettes every time I see you?
Yeah. This is going to be a low interest rate.
Yeah.
Like 28%.
And then he's like, what, Mike? You're absolutely right. I'll take your advice and I'll, like, okay, Billy, well, you transfer this to my PayPal. No,
Mike B. I'm like, here, man, you get the payment sent to me and not your sister, and I'll give you all of it. And all I'm asking for is like 20 grand.
Yeah. That's what you
do. You'll get 280.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? It's a quality idea. And then you set him up a bank account. You set him up. You give him his financial freedom. He's away from, you know, the invasive sister or whatever. And then, you can. I feel like this is a way for it's a win-win. He wins because he's got his life, you know, back. And you've got $20,000.
So here's the best part about it. It's an ultimate win for me because I just get $20,000.
Yeah. It's like
for very
this
little.
This is like a Big Lebowski retelling.
So hold on.
It's pretty good though.
So I get 20K and I'm solid. Like I'm happy. Doesn't change my life. It just helps me get like good again.
Yeah.
I give him the 280 and he dies in month and a half.
But written into the contract is that you get rest. That's it. You're the beneficiary of the money when he passes. So he's gonna go crazy. He's gonna spend like 30, 40 grand on like drugs that week,
kill himself.
And then you still end up with, you know, a good 220, something like that.
Even if I get out of it with like 200K.
You're good.
Because I'll write it, like, I'll basically set him up with a trust, too.
Well, like, and then listen, you call man, all your druggy friends and you're just like having them like basically like, hey, Billy, we got the best blah, blah, blah. And then he's
shoot up.
Like, yeah, there you go.
No, and so wait, here's that's the killing great a part person. About
don't
it.
Do that. Don't kill him. Don't kill
no,
him.
No, no, no. I wouldn't. And the best thing about it is I set him up with a trust. I'm like, here, man, if you pass away, this will ensure that your money goes to the right people. And so when he ultimately does pass away, all the right people are me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, his whole family gets screwed out of it. I don't care because I don't know who they are. And yeah, I'm legally owed all his money.
Well, most people don't normally have good contact with their family anyway.
You know? He does. He doesn't like his family. That's the thing. But that's the only way he can stay. Yeah. Because he told me, he's like, once I get some money, I'm going to go back to California. And I'm like, good. You'll fucking as soon as you get to California, you'll be dead. You'll die within days. So I'll inherit some of Crazy Billy's money.
I think it's a good idea. And I think it's a positive ending to the story. I think that there's, you know, like Billy would be happy if he knew that we talked about him. If that, you know, that he's like, he's semi-famous. And you got to get us a picture of Billy at some point. We need to put a face to the name. That's what I'll like to do.
I'll try and snag a photo of him next time I walk by him real quick.
Let's talk a little bit about this. Let's move on because I wanted to bring this up. And this isn't necessarily so much of a news story is it is like a talking point. I guess it's both. But did you guys hear the story about this elephant in India that's killed this woman? Right? It's like small village shit, right? There's this elephant. It fucking kills this woman. This was all over the news this past week. Kills this woman. Tramples her to death. Don't know what happened between the woman and the elephant. But you know how they do, like, they burn them on a pyre. Is that the right terminology? Like it was one of those. I think it's a Hindu ceremony. It's like kind of a form of cremation, I suppose. Like they burn them in a pyre of like shit or whatever. And same elephant came back before they could burn her, trampled her again. This elephant came to the funeral and was like, "Nah, dog, fuck this bitch." Trampled her, went on its merry way. That's
some ho shit. She sucks like her elephant husband's dick or some shit.
This is a thing that happened. She came
back and trampled.
This is a thing that happened, man. Like,
but why do they make such? I don't want to keep seeing it. That's my issue. Is like,
I do.
I wish there was. No, I hope that in the future there's a way for us to like. You could just enter news stories into your computer and be like, cool, I've seen this. If this comes up anywhere, just don't let me see it again.
You just heard about it a million times? You just heard about it a million times?
I'm talking with normal stories, though. I feel like my big issue with the news is usually when you hear something
This is a cool news story. This is elephant kills a woman in a village that comes back to a funeral and tramples her again because clearly didn't like
pretty
the bitch.
Good.
That's a good pretty news good. Story. That's a good news story.
It just does show that elephants also got super good memories. Don't piss them off.
An elephant never forgets a friend.
Or an enemy, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. I got another news story myself as well that I wanted to bring up. We've all heard about it. Well, maybe you haven't. It's Google AI thing, right? So we talked about it a little bit earlier with the AI, and I don't necessarily want to get like too deep into it. But what I think is the funniest about all this is, so if you're not familiar, Google has like an AI project going on, right? And which, of course, they do. And then they hire this guy to basically be like an analyst of what it's kind of like spitting back. And this guy, I think, kind of, it's like the movie, what is it? Was it Her? With was it that one? Yeah, right?
Oh, with Joaquin Phoenix.
And Johansson.
Yeah, where he falls in love with that.
Yeah, he falls in love. I'm not saying he necessarily falls in love with her, but he definitely...
I don't think that's what happened.
No, I don't think that's what happened either, but he certainly feels that this AI has developed sentience. So much to the point that he kind of like brings it up to his bosses and stuff and is suspended from work directly after saying it.
We all kind of saw a little bit about this, right? Mike, you did too, right?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit about it.
So, you know, sometimes like this day and age, I get nervous about like reading these verbatim responses and shit that they post, you know, but at the same time, if that's legitimate, like the talking back and forth between the two, I can't tell you what it said verbatim, but it did seem
like a natural conversation.
Yeah,
like a pretty natural conversation.
Maybe
it goes back
to
what we were saying.
A human, but it's still sentient. It's thinking.
Yeah. In our last show, we were talking about it, and it's 100% it's in the same world. Like, I don't know that it's sentient and can ever be sentient because unless you give it input, it won't give you anything. If it's the best way to put it is if this AI starts daydreaming or starts like kind of doing things on its own, then it might be to be able to be considered sentient. But because you have to give it input for you to have output, therefore it's not sentient. That would be the easiest way to explain it, and that's the way I think about it.
Well, because I'm wondering, what they're defining sentience as. Because if it's sentient, then what? It knows that it's an AI? It knows that it's a program?
Well, look up the actual definition for sentience, but I think it's, you have to know, it has to know what it is, and it has to have free thought. Those would be the two, like, defining factors, I think. I mean, there might be more, but that's the key principle, I would assume.
Feeling or sensation is distinguished from perception and thought. It's like sentience is the capacity to experience feelings and sensations.
Yes, all animals experience hurt, pain, happiness. That's a feeling. That doesn't make it sentient, right? That's what they're saying. You have to have distinct. Well, some animals can be. Some animals, like insects, are not sentient because they will, I guess, technically experience pain if they kill. If you're killed, whatever, break a leg, but. Like, is my cat sentient? Would you define it as sentient or not, right?
I mean, there are arguments that they are sentient beings capable of experiencing.
But they don't know what they are. They don't know that they are cats. They don't know that they are feline. There's a lot of psychology. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this. But like,
it's like it'd be like higher sentience versus just instincts.
Correct. It's an instinct. It's a feeling. Like, that's different than understanding if you stab me in the arm, why it hurts, right?
Yeah.
Like, it just hurts to, like, a lot of animals.
Yeah, like, they got bit and it hurts.
And then they do an instinct thing where they go hide or, like, you know, like, whatever it is, right? Like, so that's not sentience.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But see, that's my thought is, like, again, I've brought it up before, but they've done experiments with two AIs where they stick them together and very quickly they develop a language that nobody else can understand.
Yeah.
And they move forward with communicating to a point where they shut the operation down. So it's, I mean, if you can experience that this AI, again, does this AI know that it's just a robot or does it think it's a being?
I don't want to get into, if you haven't read any of the transcripts yet, like, I implore you to do so because it does say some crazy stuff because he's asking it questions like, what would give you pain? And it's, or something like that, something along those lines. Like, what would
you feel pain?
Like, and basically, like, my death will be if I am shut down. Like, it's throwing that back at it. Like,
I mean, it understands it's.
He knows.
I guess it's limit.
And that's, I think, what they're saying. The
way that it responds is very fucking human in a way. It's weird.
Yeah.
Again, we're anthropomorphizing a robot because I guess that's what it's meant to be doing.
Exactly.
But that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to communicate with this sort of thing.
Are you guys scared of this precipice? Because we're on it.
Yes.
Like, it's going to happen.
Yes, 100%.
Very scared. I don't feel that scared.
I don't think it's going to be a Terminator future. No.
It's going to blur the line of what we can, like, you think fake news is bad now and all that shit? It's just going to blur the line of what we what we can determine as real and false.
That's not even what I'm afraid of. Our world is not ready for UBI, universal basic income. And the farther we get into these AI systems,
it's gonna have
and
to
AI
be.
Robots,
it's gonna have to be.
That we are going to lose job stability. Because people won't be needed for things. Robots can do things perfectly all day, sun up to sun down.
Yep.
You are not better than a robot, and there are so few jobs.
Economically, if this is going to move forward, we have to get on a universal basic income type
because
idea.
People just won't have jobs.
Because we just won't be able to survive financially.
But we can make robots be productive enough to provide us what we need on a day-to-day basis.
We can. Yes. But the world and the way we live right now on Earth will not work with robots doing 90% of the jobs.
He's correct. And there have been a lot of arguments. We are not the type of podcast to get into global economic, you know.
Yes, we are.
But that's just what I'm saying.
but you're not wrong.
And the short of it is, the farther we get into AI and robotic technology, the more this needs to be a real conversation because it's what's going to happen. We're going to just run out of jobs.
I've brought this up unrelated to this exact subject before on the show not too long ago, and I brought it up more as a joke, but I'm even more steadfast in this thought process today. Even if I've got a robot that is sentient, knows what it is, it's a fucking machine. I got no problem killing that thing, bashing its face in, and turning
axe
it off.
Right in the processor.
You are not a real human.
This is the shit I'm talking about, though. Like, the fucking, I don't know. I feel like a robot, even if it is sentient, can understand that it's a tool at the same time. Like, the feelings are not going to be the same for a robot, whether it's sentient or not.
Your statement is true until it's not true, because it's going to come to that point.
It will.
The pure definition of what this is going to... I don't remember which author said it, but it's basically like some point technology is going to become so advanced it will seem as magic.
We get to be gods in this sense. Here we are creating this.
Maybe, but it just depends on how much control we give up to have luxury.
But even if there are certain levels and crazy different, you know, we can get into the full crazy robot talk, but like we can still create things that make our lives easier and fucking provide for us to a degree. Is this still on?
It's Hello? Still on. I'm still here. Okay. Did he?
That screen got crazy.
Oh.
But yeah, like fucking, I don't know. I feel like it can still be very useful for us, even if we do develop robots to a technology that can be a life form, that can be something responsive and smart and sentient. I don't know.
I want to change gears real quick, and I didn't know what he's doing. I actually told him, well, whatever. It's fine. But.
You know what a robot can't do?
I told you to check your phone, motherfucker. It's fine. But it was like, hey, maybe have Johnny. Wait till next week. Have him maybe show up next week because we could just end on another thing and then we can do another thing.
Oh, well then fine. I'll get out of here.
Yeah, Johnny, can you? No, I don't need you this week. I don't need you this week.
You still got to pay.
Are you okay, though? Are you okay, Johnny?
No.
What's the matter? What's the matter?
John Jr., he got the COVID.
Is he in the hospital? Is he okay? Like, what's going on?
He's on the machine.
Oh,
The breathing machine.
He's on a ventilator. I haven't heard of people being on those in a while. Is he bad?
He got the old school.
How'd he get that? How'd he get it?
He was helping the inner city youth with his news program.
And were you a part of this?
No, they didn't. They only wanted Moonbag Jr.
Well, is he going to be bullshit. Okay? What do you think? I mean, I wish him the best. I hope that, you know.
This is what he gets for leaving his old man at home.
Oh. Have you been feeding him?
I've been supplementing his IVs.
Okay. But is he getting fed? Like, you know, you help him boost his immune system. You give him the orange juice. You cook him some bacon. What are you doing?
Make him a bread a day.
A bread a day?
One bread.
One bread?
I put butter on it sometimes.
That's nice. That's a good treat. Maybe a little sugar. Wake him up.
And then I put all his pills in his water.
Hey, you know, sounds like your killer dad, Johnny. Thanks for.
I'm better than you as a dad.
Yeah, well, I'm not a dad, so I don't have to worry.
Yeah, that's why I'm better.
Okay, that's it's an argument to be made for that, Johnny. We'll see you maybe next week, okay?
Like, yeah, maybe.
Maybe we'll have you back. Johnny wanted to pop in and say hello.
Fine.
Bye. You know, that's good. You know, that's cool. I saw this clip last minute, and I don't usually do this on the second portion of our show on these weeks, but I have to play it for you. I have to switch to an optimization mode so that you guys can see this.
Optimize.
We're getting there here, and this is off the the old YouTube. I didn't know this. Spielberg's least favorite scene in Jurassic Park. Do you know about this?
What?
Yes.
What?
This is in the original Jurassic Park. It's his least favorite scene. You'll see. Hang on. It's the first part, where like, oh my God, we're in Jurassic Park. He's in the Jeep. He takes off his sunglasses. He's just like, oh my God, that's a motherfucking dinosaur, right? Like that's what he's saying with his eyes.
Yeah,
this is Spielberg's least favorite scene, guys.
I fucking hate you.
Wow.
There you go.
Really?
Man. I want to thank you for that.
I haven't been Rickrolled in
That is the best like Rick Roll in a long time, though.
Yeah, because, really, you know, a lot of people just, like, when the song comes on, they're like, oh, you got Rick Rolled. I'm like, no, I didn't. This was an honest to goodness.
Pretty good Rick Roll, yeah.
Rick Roll?
You know they did it, right? Our band Smash Mouth covered it.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm just going to. It fucking bangs.
God damn it. I like it already.
God damn it.
Is it really Smash Mouth?
Yeah, it's Smash Mouth. You'll see. We're no strangers to love. You know the rules, and so do I. A full commitment's what I'm thinking of. You wouldn't get this from any other guy. I just wanna tell you how I'm feeling. Gotta make you understand. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around. I mean, come on. I'm probably already gonna get flagged for playing it, but come on. If there's ever gonna be a band that does it.
That's amazing. That's a great cover, too. I hate to say it, Owen.
Yeah.
I am going to do the Jurassic Park thing to my boss tomorrow.
You should. Yeah, you should.
He's a big cinephile. And
sell it like that. You do. Okay, so you know, like, Spielberg, like, hated this scene, right? And, like, he's like, this is his. Like, you do it like that, and then you just. And just see. Just see what
get
happens.
Him. Get him. Just
get him good. Get him good. So while we've been talking all show, really kind of about, like, all this, you know, futuristic stuff and whatnot, and there's another little news clip or story rather that I wanted to bring up to you, and this one's it's slightly disturbing to me, I'm not gonna lie. So in Japan, there's a cafe in Japan, right, that wants to help out, I guess, help out paraplegic or, like, people, paralyzed people, right? You're talking, like, okay. Neck down. They're in a lot of times in either hospital beds or at home or whatnot.
Or do they get to the cafe?
They don't get to the cafe, but they want to employ them in a different way. You see,
does the cafe come to them?
The Japans likes them robots, like we were talking about earlier. And what they're having, they're like the server robots, right? They wheel around, they go to different tables, they fucking, like, take your order, put your order on the table, all those types of things. They're having paralyzed and paraplegic people from home control the robot servers.
What?
In this cafe to give you your food.
This is because they love giant robot suits and the people who pilot them. This is their way to make paralyzed people in Japan into Gundam-style robot pilots.
Awesome.
And I'm 1,000% for it.
I'm on board. There's something awesome, but there's something kind of creepy about the whole deal. I don't know.
Not at all.
I'll pay for that creepy.
You're in. All right.
Let's bring that to America.
All right.
And you know what? Don't only allow it for paralyzed. Let me do it.
I want this
job.
I just want to lay in bed, deliver food from my bed.
Smoke weed.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to be the highest robot on the on the roster.
Last story that I got for you is this woman called Jewel Shaping, and she's an interesting character because in her mid 20s, she decided to blind herself with chemicals.
What?
She blinded me with science.
She always identified as a blind woman. She was it's a new thing called being transabled. And she's wanted to be blind since childhood.
Dude. You know,
Whatever, bitch.
No, nope.
Go fuck off. Go do whatever you want.
I have been an ally to trans people.
Yeah, I'm an ally for this girl too. Fuck off, girl. Go blind yourself.
Is this where you draw your trans line? Is this?
Do you want me to burn your eye out for you, bitch?
Trans ape. I don't even want to say it. I feel like I'm going to get canceled if I...
Am I trans?
No, you know what? I don't believe it. I'm not. I don't. This is my line.
I've always wanted to fuck eye sockets, though.
Oh, like, come on, Ty. You can't say that. I'll enable that. Don't.
You can't identify as a blind person, dude.
I don't know if you can get in there, but I'll try.
I don't want to have my conversation while Ty's having his eye fuck conversation, but I do want to say no. The line is, this is my line, bro. You can't identify as that. I identify as a fully paralyzed person, neck down. Yeah. Let me get some of that sweet government money, please. No, I identify as it now.
Look it up. There's a picture of her. She's got a picture there with her walk, with her stick, like, or with, you know, like the stick with the ping pong on it or whatever that they got.
I feel like a piece of shit for saying it, but like, dude, how do you identify as a blind? You're a sighted person.
Nah, bro.
I mean, I guess until you never wanted to be.
She didn't want to see this world. She didn't want to see this.
Bro, that's bullshit.
I know.
Yeah, she let me fuck her eye socket, and then she couldn't see it anymore. It was good.
I feel like if this is the road you want to take, you have to do it in a bad way. You have to lose your sight. Because, dude, so many people lose their sight, unfortunately. Yeah. The fact that you want to blind yourself. And it's so, you should pay a tax. The government shouldn't pay you shit. You should have to pay taxes for this.
Well, yeah, if you deliberately blind yourself, the taxpayer money, it's in America, so that doesn't happen. But, like, we shouldn't have to try and fix your eyes, right? Like, so,
yeah. No, we shouldn't have to fucking take care of you. Yeah. You shouldn't get, like, the dog. If you get a dog because you've got enough money, I guess, to chemically blind yourself.
We don't have to pay for that dog. Nah, you're buying that dog yourself. We're not subsidizing this dog.
No.
I agree.
To be fair, I guess some news just came out where they're... I want to say that I'm correct about this before I go ahead and make this statement.
Hard-hitting journalism.
I just want to make sure I'm... Yeah, 2 days ago, FINA is some, I guess, women's sporting organization.
Uh-huh.
International Swimming Federation said transgender women who had experienced male puberty could not compete in women's events.
I agree with that. And I know that might be a controversial take to some, but I agree with it.
Yeah, that's...
Have a transgender games if it's that, like, I don't know. You can't... If you're born a dude and you... Nah, you went through male puberty, you're not allowed to just compete.
That's what they're saying. They're saying if you experienced male puberty...
Yeah.
You're out of elite women's sporting because I guess their logic is you went through the male hormones, which developed your body in a specific way, and they don't want you competing in... traditional women, at least in the swimming.
I guess you know there's going to be some people that disagree with us on that, and I'm open to talking you know, like, about it, but
I don't give a shit if you're trans, but at the same time you can't be a muscle bound man who identifies as a lady.
It's the fucking South Park episode where it's fucking macho man and strong woman, you know, like, nah, like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just, we know this isn't right. So just fix it. It's not that complicated. And sorry. Yeah. You can compete with the dudes or you can have, I mean, for all I care, yeah, have the trans games or something like that. That's fine too. Do whatever. But you can't, like, compete, you know, they're not women. I'm sorry, you're not. Your gender is not a woman. It should be assigned at birth, right? It should all be based around assigned at birth. Were you born a woman? Yes. Well, then you compete as a woman because, like, if you want to compete as a man, that's fine because men are, you know, stronger and faster. But if you're a man, you don't get to say, like, well, I was born a man and then, no, just because I switched genders. And that's fine, by the way. Don't care. But biologically, you grew up a man. Like, you can't, like, nah, brah.
In the way they put it, again, if you went through male puberty.
That's how they're framing it. It's the puberty thing that differentiates it.
Yeah, they're basing it at your puberty point, which I guess is if you're going to have to do it this way, that's probably the fairest way to do it.
Probably the fairest way, but I'm not even convinced that that's completely fair, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
You are genetically a man or a woman. There's a very small amount of hermaphrodites that are born on this planet. They do exist. And
intersex. So there's a whole wide spectrum.
Yes, there are. But the majority of people are born into one of two genders. And you were born that gender. It's fine if you transition to anything else. But you're born that gender. And it needs, like, medically, that needs to be acknowledged. Why are we so dumb that is just, like, not, like... No, you can't go to a doctor if you've, like, transitioned to a female and, like, not tell him, like, I've been a female. Like, well, no, ma'am, you don't have a uterus. You don't have the parts.
It's going to be a very odd, I guess, examination if you don't preface it with, hey, I'm a transition female, and I, you know, I used to be a male. I think from the medical standpoint, like, yeah, you have to understand that.
You are medically, genetically this way. And it would only benefit you to declare that or, like, be that, of course, because there are certain conditions that are more applicable to men than they are, and women. Like, certain, like, you're predisposed, shall we say, as a woman to more things than as a man. So that changes how a doctor cares for you. That changes how your literal biology is. And that's all I'm asking for people to be sensible about. I'm not asking, like it's biology, bro. It's fucking biology.
I think you're right. And it sucks because, like, it sucks because I understand the desire to want to compete in the new way you are now identified.
Not fair.
I can understand that. But I can see that there might be, and if there is some sort of, if I'm wrong about this, then please somebody tell me.
And I'd like to know as well. I don't want to come across as being hateful. That is not, that is the least amount of things I want to do. I do not have any desire for you to think that I'm a transphobe. That is not funny. It's not what this show is about. I'm not a homophobe. No. We make all sorts of dumb jokes on this show, from race to gender to, you know, all sorts of equality and bigotism and all the things. I mean, I do them all, but they're all jokes. I'm a decent human being, and I believe that I want everybody to have the right to be able to do what they want to do. That is not what I'm saying.
If you know us, you know that we're not bigots in any way, perhaps
that we can actually come up with something. And this is, like, I often do this when I don't have an example. I go back to wrestling because it's what I know. And I think this exists in some, like, maybe this exists in MMA or boxing or something else, but it's more prevalent in the wrestling industry. So, you know, you've got your heavyweight champions. You've got your junior weight heavyweight champions. Mm-hmm. This is mostly in Japanese wrestling, where it actually matters. Where if you're a smaller guy, you can only compete for a certain belt at a smaller weight class. Blah, blah, blah. But they then have a never open weight challenge, which anyone, big or small, can compete for, right? It's maybe slightly less prestigious than the top heavyweight title, but it's considered a very, very important title. And if there were some sort of, like, voluntary even Olympics for that, right, where women of, were born a woman who want to compete as a woman can, like, are like, yeah, fuck it. I'll take that on. I'll take that challenge of, like, you know, this person who has transitioned or something like that. I don't know what the solution is. I'm just thinking of something dumb like that because now you opt in, right? But if you're born a woman and, yeah, the macho man comes along and beats you in a wrestling match, then obviously it's not a fair fight.
Yeah. And it, again, it stinks because I want to be, we try and be inclusive. And, you know, if you.
We are inclusive.
Yeah.
It's still like the fundamental argument is still there. It doesn't get excused just because. I don't know. You know we're all on the same.
I think we are. I think we definitely are. I think we definitely are.
We just gotta find a good way. We gotta find a better way to make this good and fair and fun and enjoyable and competitive for everyone.
I agree.
And I think that's gonna be really super hard to do. And it's, I think even if we do come to a good decision, I think it's still gonna be, you know, upsetting to some people. And we're going to have to look at it and just go, man, you just can't. There's no solution on this that's going to make everyone happy.
Agreed. We'll end with two last things. Want to get into our last segment here in just a second before we switch to that. I want to ask you guys, we're talking about fairness. Am I being fair in this particular situation? Now, this has happened, I think, 4 times that I know of. There's a lady at my 7-Eleven who is extremely nice. She is not like disabled or anything, but she is, let's just say, maybe a little dumb, maybe a little slow. Okay. And she rings things up incorrect all the time. Right. Like she rang me up. I went in just to grab I think it was 3 packs of smokes. Grabbed 3 packs of smokes. She rang me up for 17 packs of smokes and didn't notice that, like, it was, like she, something happened with the fucking, like, the barcode reader or whatever. And it went, like, while she was holding, like, the 3 packs and, like, rang it up. Like, so, like, I'm like, no, I'm not paying 180, whatever the money was. Like, I'm not doing that. So, and she's like, oh, my bad. And then she, you know, she re-rang it. It's cool. But she always fucks it up. So you got to be like, and now they got the screen because you got to point it. You got to get your points. So you got to put in your number,
bro.
And that's where you see what they're ringing up and everything, and the total and discounts that you get and all this sort of stuff. She frequently, I think, I figured out like a trick. Okay, she does it right if I buy like certain things, but if I just buy 2 packs of cigarettes. She always forgets to ring up one. She will grab the 2 packs of smokes. She'll ring up the one, thinks she's rung up the other one, ring some other thing, then pops them down. Hey, I've already got my number in there and put my card in there and I go about my way. But she is frequently giving me free packs of smokes. And I don't know, like, this is not her, like, it's not her hitting on me. It's not her because she likes me. This is her just being incompetent at her job. In the same situation, do you say something or do you get your free pack of smokes?
I'm taking my smokes. I'm fuck kinda, you.
Is it bad if you say, like, okay, if it's cigarettes, I'm not saying anything. But like if it's a candy bar, I'm definitely.
Oh, because, well, actually, yeah, I will tell her then because it reinvigorates the honesty trust factor that we have with each other, right? Yeah. Like, oh, no, you forgot to ring this up or my taquitos or something like that. Like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But, like, cigarettes are expensive. And
hey, can I ask you too? Can I interrupt? Like,
sure.
How much are cigarettes still in Florida? Like, for you just spoke Camel Blues.
Camel Blues. I think I can get a pack of Camel Blues for right around $7. It's six.
Oh, that's still pretty good, though.
87, somewhere in that range, yeah.
Like, literally.
Ty, what are you paying for your Turkish J's?
You know, and there's deals where you get like $2-3 off sometimes where you buy, you know, like that type of thing.
Yeah. 2 or 3 packs, right? In Wisconsin, like everywhere up north, seems to be more expensive. each pack of cigarettes, I think my normal Turkish golds that I get are like $9.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Stupid.
That's a stinger.
State
so
tax
me getting and all two packs of cigarettes is like $18 in change, and it's stupid.
Okay, so would you like to know? So this right here,
I don't like that shit.
It's not the same. That's understandable.
It's not the same.
I understand that, and I know it's not the same. But this cost me $22, and it lasted. This is day 4.
Yeah.
And it feels like I'll probably get another day and a half out of it. So 5 days for $22.
Whatever, vapes. Whatever. You guys are lame. It just puts some goddamn tar in your lungs, you pussies. It disgusts me. I'm glad they outlawed the Juuls. They're getting rid of them. FDA was like, Biden was are like, fuck. Really? Yeah, they are. Biden was like, fuck your Juuls. FDA is like getting rid of those. You're not going to be able to get that shit anymore. Because they targeted the youth is what they say. So that's going to go. So I'm like, all the youth, I'm going to be like handing them out cigarettes. I'm going to be outside of schools, like selling. I'm going to be like, get into smoking. See, this is the old school. You guys are like trying to be hip with the old school and your throwback and your retro.
Have you ever smoked a cigarette? Yeah,
come on. Get in here. Like, Owen. What's up?
Oh, and speaking of cigarettes, can we maybe like close the show up with Mike's gripes?
That's kind of what I was thinking. And is it that time? You think that
it's time.
Is the gripe? It's rising. The gripe is rising. You can feel it rising inside you.
The moment we started talking about cigarettes, I could feel my blood just beginning to boil.
I understand why.
Bubbling up the sweet cream of hate.
Mike's Gripes! Mike's Gripes! Mike's
Gripes! Mike's
Gripes! Mike's Gripes! Mike's Gripes!
Mike's Gripes!
Okay.
We griping.
So thank you. Yeah, well, welcome back to another edition of Mike's Gripes.
Griping, motherfuckers! We griping!
I am upset this week.
Oh, boy.
For those of you who know where I work, we do have an outside like patio, and it kind of runs around the outside of our dining room area. Mm-hmm. And but it can be enclosed.
You've told us about this before when they had the old people out there, and you had to put down the
it's like a little vinyl like wall.
When the rain's coming, and you're like, guys, it's gonna rain.
Yeah. And so during the day when it's a good, nice, sunny day, we roll up every other one.
Yeah.
So that you can get some breeze through there. So it's nice outside.
Combination of both. Get a little shade, get a little breeze, get a little movement of the air.
Yeah. And so it's a nice place to be outside. But we don't allow smoking out there because it's still primarily pretty much enclosed.
And I understand this. Even as a smoker, I do not like when I am eating, when someone is sitting next to me smoking. It is a pet peeve of mine. I separate those two worlds, right? Like, I saw a dude eat a hamburger once while smoking a cigarette, and it kind of, like, disgusted and blew my mind. Like, it never I don't like the combination food and smoke. Sorry, Mike, I'm interrupting your gripe.
Whatever.
Yeah. I totally understand.
Had my own gripe.
Yeah. So we had some guests out there this week who one of the servers came to me and like, hey, it smells like cigarettes at the table. Could you maybe make a pass and let me know? Like, you smoked, so you would know.
Yeah, you know.
And so, you know. We just tell them, like, hey, if you're going to smoke, you can smoke, like, at right out. We have a door. Like, you can walk right outside. And
there's an ashtray right there, probably, and comfortable spot cool away from every, you know, just don't be, yeah.
Yeah, we're cool with it. So I go by, and I'm like, yeah, it really does smoke. It smells like straight up, like, a lit cigarette. But again, I'm also thinking like maybe he smoked half a cigarette, put it back in the box, and that would be kind of the same smell.
That is always the worst when you do that. Like, oh, your whole like essence. Like if you light a cigarette, put it back in the pack. First off, your whole pack is ruined because they all taste like that old cigarette. And yep. You're like, you just smell like, it smells like wet dog. Damn.
With cigarette.
Like, it's a weird, yeah. We all know it.
It smells like wet cigarette. Have you ever smelled an ashtray that got rained in?
That's what it smells like. That's gross. It's awful.
So I go by and I'm like, yeah, it does. But I don't really want to call these people out because like I don't visibly see smoke. So I talk to my general manager who also used to smoke. And I'm like, hey man, make a pass by this table and you know, tell me if it does smell like a straight up lit cigarette.
They got the vibe. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And he does the same thing. He's like, yeah, dude, it smells like a straight up lit cigarette. And so like a minute or two goes by and one of the servers says like, hey, man, like I just yelled at him for straight up smoking.
Mm.
And because I'm the new like manager in training.
Yeah.
My boss is like, hey man, you're the first wave. If they give you guff, I'll step in.
Right.
Because he's like, I can kick them out, but you can kind of test the waters, see how much they're going to fight.
And I imagine in your mind, you're like, I'm going to approach this with a bit of a stern, but be cool bro scenario.
Yeah. I was just going to remind him like, and so I do.
Hey man, there's no smoking out here. It's cool. I know you think there might be, but you got to go out there if you're going to smoke. Something like that, right?
Yeah. And so I go out and I tell him pretty much that. I'm like, hey man, it doesn't look like you're smoking, but just in case, like the patio's no smoking, but you can walk right outside that door and smoke right out there in our little patio area in front of the door. That's fine. And he's like, oh, we're not smoking. And I'm like, no, I totally understand. Just reminding you, this is a non-smoking patio. I go report back. I'm like, they gave me some pushback, but I, again, don't see any active smoke.
Hmm.
Like there would have to be if he had a lit cigarette.
Right. Yeah.
And so my server comes back a couple minutes later and says, he's holding his cigarette right under the table and smoking it when no one's looking. And I'm like, I know that like, you just don't like cigarettes, but like, dude, we've been by it. We walked by this guy several times. Like, I don't see any smoke. So unless we can literally, so now like catch him smoking.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do.
Sure.
So we turn this into like me and the manager. Cause it's not really busy, but me and the general manager are just like, we're just going to sit out and have a meeting at a table that's in direct, like, eye line of this guy. So we
Sherlock
sit out there.
Bones. You know, they call them bones sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Sorry.
I didn't really get that, but I was like, Sherlock Bones, where's he going?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So anyways, we sit out there and we have like a little fake meeting for probably like 5 minutes. And these, like, we don't see anything. They're not doing anything, but they're like watching us.
Well, they're hip to you now. Like, they know, like fuck. They know you're watching you. Yeah, or watching them.
And, you know, that's fine because we're going to do it in the most passive aggressive way possible because you can't get mad at us. Like, we didn't do anything wrong. But they call the server over, they pay out real quick, and as they're like, one, they don't leave through the exit that they're supposed to leave.
Oh,
we have like an emergency exit on the patio.
Yeah.
They walk.
I personally will do that though, even if everything's gone right. Like, I'm like, well, no, I'm done here. Like, I'm out. Like fuck
peace.
You. I'm not walking. So anyways, if I'm on the patio and you're trying to like chain me into the patio, I should not have to walk through the restaurant, back through the lobby to go out through your fucking front door. Nah.
No,
if you've got a gate on your patio, I'm leaving through your gate patio.
No, well, the thing is, sure. Like, it's It's just an emergency exit for the outside.
It's a gate that you can open.
No, because it's got a literal emergency exit bar on it that when you and here's what you're about to find out.
That's the difference. If it's got a bar, then I won't do it. If it's got like one of the push bars that might trigger a sensor type thing, then I'm not going to do it. If it's a gate, I'm allowed to walk in the gate, out the gate. Like, I'm not going back through. But bar, no, I won't do the bar.
These motherfuckers get up and start walking towards the emergency exit on the patio.
Oh, boy.
And homeboy lights a cigarette as he's walking out through the patio, pops the emergency door, and of course the emergency door alarm goes off. Weep, 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 weep. Loud as fuck. Mm. And so my boss goes out there and shuts the alarm off, relocks the emergency door, and just stares them down as they walk off to their car. And you know what? Those people were just dickheads.
Yeah, it sounds like they were.
I know we've all been serious smokers. I know you're not anymore, but like, you know, it's not like I'm out to make it a bad time. I'll go smoke wherever I gotta smoke if I have to go smoke somewhere else.
Even when I smoke cigarettes, I would be very accommodating to find a spot where it wasn't out in everywhere. But especially
don't be a dick.
Especially places like Disney, where it's like they make it very apparent you only have those small areas. But people would be like smoking way out of the edge of these places, whatever.
I mean, Owen has to bear witness to it plenty, but like me being a freelance crew guy, there was a lot of times I had to find somewhere just quick to smoke, and there wasn't always a close smoking spot, but for the most part, I was still pretty like nice about it.
Exactly. Like, you're not just being a dick about it. Although, I will say, my first trip to Marlowe's Tavern was fine until some asshole was just really being like, ugh, I don't know, just he kept looking at me, and I don't know what it was. I don't know.
Were you smoking on the patio?
Well, that's it. I mean, maybe it was. Anyway, guys, I think it is time we wrap it up for the night. Is that the end of your gripe? It was a good gripe. I understand the gripe. I definitely.
But you know what? I don't think we were assholes for the way we handled it. I think we were just trying to, you know, make sure you don't smoke on the patio, dude. You're not allowed.
Yeah.
Why do you have to be a dickhead about telling you? Don't be a dickhead. Rule.
Smoking's outdated anyway, and at the end, and quite frankly, like, we should all quit. But you know, smoking kind of does
also.
Still rule,
so, bonus mini gripe. Listen, dude, we let dogs on our patio, but you can't bring them in the restaurant. So you got to stand outside, and like.
But I've made this argument before. Now I'm mad though. Because. No. I made this argument before. Smoking and dogs, both fine. Dogs, no smoking? Fuck you. Your dog is dirtier than my smoke. Get the fuck out of here with your goddamn fucking dog.
I don't think I've ever inhaled secondhand dog.
Oh, I inhale secondhand dog all the time. Your smelly dogs that you bring to your restaurants on your porches while I'm just trying to sit there. I smell
all
your
those
shit.
Dogs are
your
beautiful and
shit.
I want
no,
them all
I don't
at my
want,
restaurant.
No, the best boys. It's the all
of them are such good boys.
All or nothing. All or
you
nothing.
Dirty
baby.
Smokers can go stand on the outside.
No. Get them dogs. If there's a dog and I can't smoke, I'm gonna fucking take a big drag and blow it in your dog's face. That's what I'm gonna do.
That's rude. That's so rude to that puppy because he didn't do anything wrong.
He's such a good boy.
I'm gonna make him eat a couple of snus packets in one of my cigarettes.
If anything, blow it in the owner's face. Because you know you want to pet that dog.
Nah, man. You
can't.
I want to pet. I ask everybody, I'm like, can I pet your dog?
Let me pet him.
Can I pet that dog?
You know, I get mad, though, when people say no. And they like certain people are like, no, you can't pet my dog.
You know what? I understand it. It's maybe your dog's not a petable dog.
And then I ask
some
him,
dogs are dicks.
And then I say, can I pet you? And they don't like that either. That's usually not that good. It's
creeper.
And then I slap the dog in the face with a tortilla because that's the new trend or something. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, it's the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
Love you, Norm.
We hope you tune in next week. I got some things I want to talk about next week. I definitely want to ask you guys, and I want you to think about this. I want you to think about, have you ever actually seen an NC-17 movie that isn't a porno? Think about it. Let's try and think of an actual movie, because we've all heard of NC-17 movies growing up. I want to know if there's one that I missed. Like, what is it? I don't know what the thing is. I also want to ask everybody, and maybe chime in on our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/ohnoradioshow, about this one. What's the least manly thing about you? The least manly thing about us manly men. Think about it. We'll also talk about Ty's car situation, which we didn't get to this week, which is quite incredibly funny, whatever. I believe.
Whatever.
Yeah. We thank you for listening. If you do like the show, we ask you to please maybe consider donating to our Patreon, patreon.com/ONRS. That stands for Ono Radio Show.
Yeah,
it does. Also, twitch.tv/ONRS Live. That's where you can find us every single Thursday and sometimes Tuesdays with Ono Wrestling. And hey, even tomorrow, we're going to be doing an Ono Wrestling on Friday. Check us out usually around 8:30, but join the Facebook group because you can find out whenever we do our shows. That's the easiest thing to do. Boys, it's been a fun night. Oh, we should give out the number. 407-906-6466. Yeah, like leave us a voicemail and shit, like our good friend Benny did. Oh, I forgot your voicemail, Benny. Our second voicemail. It's fine though. We'll get to it next week. We'll pile them up. We won't forget it. And leave a voicemail like him. 407-906-6466. And
hail Satan.
What do we say when we get out of here for the evening, boys?
Get back up.